This morning can be found on page 167 in your Lutheran service book. Please rise and face the processional cross at the back of the sanctuary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the word of the Lord. The Old Testament lesson comes from the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle comes from the 10th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Seated, we sing together hymn number 544.
Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. From the water to the wilderness, that is the way of our Lord. Immediately after his baptism in the Jordan, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being attacked by the devil. The Holy Spirit had just marked him as the Christ, the Anointed One. And the voice of the Father had just declared that Jesus is his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Now the devil enters in, and he tries to cast doubt on the whole event by questioning the word that God declared from above. If you are the Son of God, then prove it. So the devil's testing begins by bringing doubt to the Word of God and His promises. How many times have we fallen into that trap? Falling into either doubting God's Word or testing God to see if He'll be true to His Word. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden, or the people of Israel in the desert. Or think of yourself and the many ways that you doubt God's promises to you and how you easily give in to temptation by distrusting God and going your own way. Jesus is alone, isolated for 40 days and 40 nights and hungry from fasting. And he's the perfect target for the devil. The devil's a predator, and like a predator, he looks for the lone sheep. He waits for Eve to be alone and vulnerable. He seeks isolated, baptized believers at home, by himself or herself, away from other Christians, away from the church, away from the preached and the heard word and God's sacraments. He wants you and I to get curved in on ourselves, which is our inborn tendency, isn't it? So it should come to no surprise that after we are baptized, we are marked out for war. In our baptism, God places His name upon us, unites us to Christ, calls us His sons and daughters, in whom He is well pleased. And as part of the family, we too are enemies of the devil. And the baptized will find themselves under constant attack from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And left alone, we're like mush in the devil's hands. But the Word of God became flesh to be tempted for you. Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet he did not sin. The devil had met his match in the second Adam. On earth was not his equal, and one little word can fail him. So in the wilderness, the devil comes to Jesus when he's alone and hungry. If you are the Son of God, he says. And that's kind of similar to what he first said to Eve, isn't it? Did God really say? So to Jesus, he questions, if you are the Son of God, in other words, did the Father really say that in your baptism? This is my beloved Son? Or perhaps you didn't hear quite clearly, or you misheard him. Did God really say that? And that's the devil's first trick, to drive a wedge between you and his word. Did God really say that you're a child? When did he say that to you? In your baptism? Really? And you trust that? How do you know your baptism is something that God does or not something that you do? His word says so? Really? Did God really say that? And so to Eve, the devil asked, did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? And Eve immediately fell into the devil's trap and answered, no, we may eat of any of the trees in the garden except that one over there, the one about knowing good and evil. We're not supposed to eat from that one or even touch it or we will die. And then the serpent slips in his little seed of doubt, replying, you will not surely die. And there you have it. Both undermining the very words of God and driving a wedge between God's word and faith. Eve added to God's word that they may not even touch it. She won't let God's word speak for itself. And the devil, casting doubt on God's promise by questioning the consequences. The devil's first test of our Lord is the temptation of appetites, our most basic temptation. And it's not surprising that the devil used food to tempt Eve as well. A fruit that looks so beautiful, so delicious, how can it be wrong when it tastes so good, looks so beautiful, brings such pleasure? We rationalize and justify so many things this way, don't we? Our overeating, our overdrinking, our adulteries, our immoralities, our self-indulgences. We follow our hearts over the Word of God with the reasoning that it can't be so wrong if it feels so right. But for Jesus to turn those stones into bread would have been a betrayal of who he was and why he came. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to humble himself by death, not to be exalted in life. He came to feed the 5,000 in the wilderness by multiplying bread, not to feed himself by destroying stones. His food was to do the will of his Father and die for the sin of the world, which includes you and me. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, then the devil comes to Jesus and takes him to a very high place and shows him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. All these things I will give you if you fall down and, well, worship me. It's all yours. All the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. You can have it all right now. And in a place where Jesus has nothing, the devil offers him everything. Even though it wasn't really his to give, yet that temptation was just as real. Would Jesus be drawn into seizing power and turning his back on God? Or will he receive it from God's gracious hand by way of the cross and his resurrection? All Jesus has to do to avoid suffering and death is to worship a false god. It's the temptation of idolatry. And all sin really comes down to idolatry. It all comes down to the first commandment. Wealth, power, glory. As bread is to the empty stomach, wealth, power, and glory are to the empty soul. They promise you everything. Long life, happiness, peace. If I only had. And like bread on an empty stomach, we're willing to sacrifice most anything to have power, wealth, and glory. Not only our own lives, but the lives of everyone around us. And we don't see it as idolatry, do we? Or false worship. I mean, we don't see it so quite as obvious as that, bowing down before the devil and worshiping him. He's too far, too crafty to let us see that. What you and I see is success, recognition, achievement, being admired, having control, being in charge, living in comfort. We don't see this as worship unless we see how much the pursuit of these things cuts into our worship. The devil wants us to fear, love, and trust anything rather than the one true God. But Jesus declares, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So the devil tries it one more time. Devil takes Jesus to the highest point in the city, the pinnacle of the temple, and he quotes even scripture this time to Jesus. "He will give his angels charge of you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." That's Psalm 91. And it's written about Christ, and it's written against the devil. For the next verse reads, "You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." Minor detail, conveniently left out. The devil's the great twister of Scripture, right? He loves Bible verses out of their context. It's the root of all biblical heresies, and it's the undermining of true faith. So if you are the Son of God, Jesus, the Bible says angels will catch you and you won't even stub your little toe. You trust God's word, don't you, Jesus? If you are the Son of God, aren't you? Then jump and let the angels catch you on the way down. The temptation here is to test the word and to prove it, to see if it really works, to test and see if God will really care for his Son and if his Son will really trust in his Father. But Jesus refuses the devil's attempt to test God's miraculous protection. Jesus recognizes the offer for what it really is. And he answers it this way: "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And with that simple proclamation, Jesus brings the temptations to an end by the word of Scripture. God has proclaimed Jesus to be the Son at his baptism, so Jesus will rest on his Father's promise. All three of these temptations sought to challenge God's promise about Jesus' sonship as revealed at his baptism. I mean, the ultimate ploy of the devil was to tempt Jesus into bypassing the cross and to have it all now. "Fill your belly now, Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Worship me, and the kingdoms of the earth will be yours now. Throw yourself down from the temple, and all will see that you are the Son of God because God will rescue you." If Jesus would have given in to any of these temptations, he would have forsaken his mission to be your Savior. He would have reversed the order of the kingdom by placing glory over suffering. His way is the way of suffering and death, which leads to resurrection glory for you. Jesus remained the obedient Son of God, becoming the new and the greater Adam, the greater Israel. He came to do the law, to obey the law, to fulfill it by his life and death. Jesus worshiped God in our human flesh and served only his Father. He did not put his Father to the test, but trusted him even when he was forsaken by his Father in silence. He lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of his Father. Jesus did all of this in our human flesh, and in our flesh he conquered the great enemy of humanity, the devil himself. My friends, you are a conqueror too. not in your own strength. You and I aren't equal to the devil's power or his temptations, but your strength is Christ. In him you conquer. Peter writes, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Faith resists the devil because Jesus has conquered the devil. And we resist in the strength of Christ's might, standing firm in Christ by faith. It is the Lord Jesus' desire that we stand in him and we stand firm in the word of faith. This is a word, the word of certainty. His desire is for you and I to have full assurance that our past sins are forgiven and forgotten. His desire is for you to be fully confident that your future is to live with him forever. His desire is for you to be truly comforted that you are living in him now in the present time by faith. The word of faith is the word of promise. It is the language of, it is written. It is written, for because he himself had suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus doesn't show us how to overcome the devil. He actually has overcome the devil for us. And in him, you and I have victory. It is written, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but the sins of the whole world. In this life, the devil will continue to accuse us. I mean, he is our adversary. Satan will speak of our sin, giving us a bad name and a reputation. He will continue to attack you and I. But it is written, this is my body given. This is my blood shed for you. Jesus puts himself, the word that became flesh, into your mouth for the forgiveness of all of your sins. God has the last word regarding your sins and not the devil. Jesus himself stands up for us. He is your advocate. Jesus is your defender before the devil's accusations. The Spirit will continue to comfort your heart with, thus saith the Lord, or thus it is written. For the Spirit leads us with his word to create and strengthen our faith. These things are written for you and I, so that we can now draw near to the Father with all boldness and confidence, trusting in his mercy for us. So, my dear Christians, remember who you are. You are baptized. You are a child in the Son of God. Your life is in Christ. It's not in yourself. And hidden in Christ, you're no match for the devil. For one little word can fail him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand with us and confess together the words of the Nicene Creed. Visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He was suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I believe one baptism and remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. For ourselves and all who are struggling with temptation, that God would strengthen us to recognize Satan's lies, trust Christ's forgiveness, hold firm to the one who conquered Satan, and resist the enticements of the devil, the world, and our sinful natures. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are afflicted by doubts, that our Father would send the Holy Spirit to reassure them with the Savior's promises, grant them confidence to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who are troubled by the difficulties of this life, especially this day, we pray for Kristen DeBella, who undergoes back surgery this week. We pray for those who are afflicted with cancer, for Anne, JC, Sheila, Jan, Heidi, Mark, Bonnie, and Bill. And we pray for all those others, Lily, Mary, Richard, Neil, Jan, Art, Heidi, Mary, and Jillian, that the Lord, who brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, would mercifully reach into their lives with comfort, faith, and relief. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For good government, and for those who serve in our armed forces, and especially for Jared, Alexandria, Shannon, Spencer, Zachary, and Mario, Ryan, Eric, and Jonathan, that God would lead them and keep them safe. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For hearts and minds eager to give back to our bountiful God, that by the working of the Holy Spirit we thankfully and willingly return to Him the first fruits of all that He gives us, that we would use those offerings to extend His kingdom of grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for the offertory. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for your forgiveness. Blood of Christ shed for your forgiveness. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.